Good morning, everyone, distinguished faculty, dedicated staff, and devoted students. I'm honored and humbled by Dr. Anderson's invitation to share in chapel as a part of ABC's 75th anniversary. Wow, 75 years. What a testament to ABC's faithfulness and God's goodness throughout all those years. God has indeed been good to ABC. As I see all of you here, as yesterday I was taking dozens of pictures, seeing new buildings and different layouts than when I was here 35 years ago. I confess that when Miss Eileen called me to say that Dr. Anderson wanted me to speak at chapel, I honestly thought there was a mistake. I said to her, and she'll attest to it, I said, "Are you sure you got the right Steve Louie? Because who am I?" And I had not spoken in a large group in many a while. And so after her assurances and then assurances from Dr. Anderson himself, he encouraged me to simply share my testimony of God's goodness from the time I graduated from ABC up till now. So I invite you not into an elevator, but I invite you into a time machine to be able to travel back in time with me and let me start my story where I left off when I was last here in the spring of 1991. Now, studying and graduating from ABC definitely gives a student pause and cause to rejoice in God's goodness. I'm grateful to God for the good education and the godly educators that I had while I was here, because these were men who taught not simply from their heads, but from their hearts. Men like Dr. Anderson, Dr. Pipkin, Drs. Pinter, and I do mean multiple one because I had both Dr. Pinter as well as Joel as well. Dr. Ryder, Dr. Albin, Dr. Suter, and many more. For me, I had a special occasion for rejoicing in God's goodness in that senior year because, well, I thought I wouldn't graduate. Not because of my grades, though they were nothing to brag about, but because of my finances. Despite taking a year off from college to save up money, despite working over the summers, despite working even in my senior year, I was about a few thousand dollars short. But that's when God's goodness showed up. As someone from my home church heard about my situation and surprisingly sent me a check for $3,000 that covered my expenses. Now, I had heard from other students of such stories, but I never thought it would ever happen to me. So thanks to this man's generosity and God's goodness, I was able to graduate and even graduate debt-free. Then immediately that summer, the mission agency that started my home church invited me to serve as a missionary pastor with them. I was more than happy to do so, especially since I graduated from ABC with a minor in pastoral studies. So for the next 10 years, I gained a wealth of experience pastoring churches representing the full gamut of church development, from a fledgling church plant all the way to a well-established multi-staff church. But as grateful as I was about learning how to pastor churches, the most important thing I learned was about me, about myself, personally. You see, when I sensed God calling me into the ministry, I thought that that meant being a pastor. And so that's why I minored in pastoral studies here at ABC. But while pastoring one of our small mission churches, where as a pastor, you pretty much had to do everything. I discovered that I actually preferred serving behind the scenes. I enjoyed the administrative part, the graphic design, the design of different things for the mission, for the church. I liked the administrative role more than the lead role. At the same time, God began to open my eyes as I heard the testimonies of others in ministry of how God was using them outside or after the pastorate. As was read earlier from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6 say, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." You see, there are many ways that we can serve, but there's one God to whom we serve. There are, as we would say, many roles that we can play, but there's one goal of serving and glorifying our Lord. To me, this was an epiphany, to me and actually my wife. Something that we discovered and learned in God's goodness while we were serving. So we rejoice in how God taught us this in ministry, that ministry to serve in a way that's better suited in the way that God has made us and gifted us based on our natural and spiritual gifts and our personalities. So when the general director of our missionary agency suggested that our two small churches merge into one, we knew that this was a time to make my transition out of the pastoral ministry. So in the summer of 2002, after assisting with the merger to make sure that everything went smoothly and that the flock was well taken care of, I stepped down from the pastorate and the mission agency. My wife and I were then curious and a bit nervous as to what the Lord would have us do now. We looked into various ministries, but there were no openings or opportunities for administrative roles at that time. Then, to our surprise, in the fall of 2002, we received an invitation from Biblical Ministries Worldwide to serve as support missionaries at their home office in Georgia. We later learned that our pastor, who serves on the board of BMW, mentioned us to BMW's general director, Dr. Paul Sager, who, by the way, is an alumnus of ABC. It was Paul who invited us and opened up a position for us. At the start of support raising, our home church pledged a third of our needed support, which is a huge boost to launch us into our new ministry. We knew that it would be hard because most people would support missionaries that go overseas. It's more glamorous. It's exciting, church planting. But when you go and you share your ministry that I'm going to be a missionary to the United States at a home office, serving in an administrative role, they kind of give you a double take. And so we knew it would be hard to be able to raise our support. But we in faith, when asked by Paul, how long will we need, when would we be able to come and work at the home office? I thought in faith, we'll be there in about 6 months. I've served in a number of churches. We knew a lot of contacts, a lot of supporters, a lot of donors. Well, and plus, we had enough in our savings account to tie us over. So I thought, I calculated everything and thought everything, it sounded reasonable to do what I said. But after those first 6 months, we still had not raised full support. So I said, maybe in another 6 months. Yeah, 6 months. But those 6 months came and went. Then I said, maybe in another 6 months. But once again, those 6 months came and went. So after 18 months of support raising, we were still not at 100%. To make matters worse, our savings account had virtually all dried up. So in the summer of 2004, I said to God and others, no more dates, no more timelines. If God wants us to stay in California, then that's what we'll do. Like Jesus, I said, not my will, but thine be done. Once I surrendered our plans and was willing not to move to Georgia, surprisingly, that's when God began to move. And we saw the goodness of God again. First of all, since we had anticipated being in California longer, we told people we're going to be here. Our home church gave me an administrative job as assistant to the pastors to earn some income because our savings account had dried up. Also, all of a sudden, more missionary support began to come in, and we began to draw closer and closer to 100% of our support. So after telling people no more timelines, no more dates, we actually now had to give them timelines and book our flight because we were approaching 100% of our support. And remember our depleted savings account? Well, like Job, not the one here, but the one in the Bible, God gave back everything and more thanks to the support that was coming in and the income from working at our home church. He replenished it all. So in January 2005, we left California for Georgia at full support, rejoicing in God's goodness. Having arrived in Georgia, we eagerly started working at the BMW home office with me as in the communications department and my wife assisting me part-time. While we were happy to be there, there was a silent suffering that was going on in our hearts and in our home. You see, we had been married for almost 10 years by then, but couldn't start a family. We tried different treatments, we attended infertility groups and adoption seminars back in California, but with the move to Georgia, we had to put everything on hold. Then one day, months after arriving at BMW, our supervisor at BMW called us into his office and asked us an unexpected question. He asked if we had ever considered adopting. You can only imagine our surprise, as we had not told anyone in Georgia about our situation. He proceeded to tell us that someone had anonymously donated to us $20,000 so that we could adopt if we so choose. Naturally, we were speechless. After picking up my proverbial jaw from the floor, we naturally accepted that donation and we left his office rejoicing in God's goodness. With the potential adoption, we now needed to consider buying a house, something we couldn't do in California. It was just way too expensive. Remember our savings account that God replenished? We had saved it up to either adopt, because it was going to cost about $20,000 to do that, or 20-something thousand, or to be able to put a down payment on a home. Well, now that we had the anonymous gift, we were now able to divert those funds, the savings account, towards a down payment towards a house. Now, adoptions in those days did take about $20,000 and about 2 years to completion. But for us, for various reasons beyond our control, it took 7 years before we were matched with a 1.5-year-old girl from China. But because of all the fees to renew our paperwork, because it took 7 years instead of two, we now lacked $10,000. We used up most of it, a lot of it, to just do what we already did to get to that point. When our general director, Paul, heard about that, he made an appeal to our mission family and us, to our supporters. And God miraculously worked. For in 2 weeks, that $10,000 came in. So the day after Thanksgiving in 2014, we flew back from China to the United States, and we were finally able to bring Carissa, Joy, Louie home with us to start our family. Thanks to an anonymous donor and others and God's goodness. Then in 2016, after being in the ministry for 25 years, I thought it might be wise to take a sabbatical. Now, I don't recommend that if you go into ministry that you wait 25 years to take a sabbatical. But I requested and was granted a 2-month sabbatical to rest, to refocus, and recalibrate myself. During those 2 months, I read books and submitted reports to Paul. I also met with a ministry coach to help me fine-tune my understanding of the way God had wired me. At the end of my sabbatical, I made a change that was a game changer. I stepped down as communications director and was asked by Paul to be his assistant as assistant to the general director. Little did I realize how much of God's goodness would be poured out as a result of that pivotal moment. You see, I began to now feel more peaceful and effective in my role. Our financial support, which had been fluctuating for a number of years then, all of a sudden hit 100%. Unexplained. And inexplicably, it's been 100% ever since. We ended 2025 again at 100%. We're like, God, and it started from that moment. And finally, that new role set me up to serve Paul's successor, Dr. Andrew Bunnell, starting in 2021, in my current role as board relations manager, serving our president and the BMW board, which included not only my home pastor, but members like Dr. Chuck Bethel of ABC. In conclusion, thank you all for allowing me to share my journey back in time to recount and rejoice in God's goodness. I hope as you walk your own journey, as you write your own story, as you serve in your own way, that you would recognize and rejoice in God's goodness in your own life and in your own ministry, however the Lord leads you. Whether he leads you, I hope, based on how he has uniquely wired you and gifted you. Whether you serve him up front or behind the scenes, whether in public or in private, whether in leading or in following, whether in an executive role or a supportive role. And if you have any doubts whether God can use you, I hope you can see that if God can use a clay pot like me, he can most certainly use you. God has indeed been good to ABC. And we rejoice in ABC's 75 years of rich history of training servants like yourselves and many of us here. It is my prayer that God would grant ABC another 75 years to train even more servants. Why? Because life is for service. God bless you all, and God bless ABC. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege of being here, but most of all, Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness. I'm sure any one of the people here could come up here and share of your goodness in their lives. And yet, for many of these students, their ministry is yet to begin. And I commit them to you, that, Lord, you would show them your goodness as they humbly serve you and take what they've learned here to be able to glorify you. May they learn from the way you have wired and gifted them to serve them in their sweet spot, in the spot where they would be most effective. Thank you for the leadership of Dr. Anderson. As I went from building to building and looked and saw of the blessings under his leadership, thank you for the stability that ABC has had over these years because of that. And Lord, I pray that he and others will continue to lead ABC for many decades, another 75 more years to come, for you to continue to use this wonderful institution for your glory that will go beyond West Virginia, go beyond the United States, but throughout the world, that you would be glorified, that in showing your goodness, your servants will rejoice, not just here, but for all eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.